This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good morning, everybody. Day number 3 of the 2025 NFL Draft in Green Bay is an hour away from getting going here. The Bills will pick at 132 to start the day in the fourth round. We've got a little while. The round will actually start at pick 103 with the Tennessee Titans. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Nate Geary hanging out with you here today. And today's coverage is brought to you by Fico Car and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Northtown Automotive Group, Northtown Automotive, the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Quilted Scroll. Great websites, more leads, real growth for your business. Learn more at tqsmarketing.com. If you did miss any of the Bills' draft picks, they went corner, D-tackle, and edge rusher. They filled out a lot of the defensive needs.
Hella defense, you
could
say.
Hella defense. Don't really know how much more defense they can do, though.
With how this draft class is going.
Safety.
That is, safety is one.
It. I think that might be it.
And Xavier Watts went
Poop
right
Ball still
end.
Available?
Yeah.
Sean Dolek
from UB. That's going to be a player we'll talk about probably in earnest throughout the day as well. Yeah, there's still some avenues, but not many. The way that the draft class has gone at this point, it seems like it's all right, well, let's find your darts and throw them at the dartboard. But welcome to Robitussin Day.
Robitussin Day. It's probably a good way to put it.
You're sick for being here. It tastes bad, so you're going to struggle.
I like the taste of Robitussin.
Yeah, you would.
That's a real character
But
issue.
Also, it's good for you, ultimately.
Today's iced coffee day for me.
Yep.
Yeah,
got
same.
Myself a treat.
Got my iced coffee.
Ready to roll.
Yeah, same. Baby.
Now, do you treat it like a treat where you're like, this is actually just coffee
that
flavored cream?
That looks disgusting.
Yeah, see? All right, so he doesn't. Got it. All right.
No. That looks horrid.
It is amazing.
For context, Nate, hold yours up so I can at least compare here. Yours looks the same.
No, it doesn't.
It looks slightly darker.
That looks borderline the same.
No. Ready?
Yours is mine is a little lighter. I'm not going to disagree.
Six shades darker than yours.
Six shades?
Also,
where's your six coming from?
Also, do you want to know where it comes from? Because I have a shading chart pulled up right now.
Get over here. Let me see.
No, I don't. The thing that I don't like about...
It's 11 a.m. I'm not taking this nonsense.
The places you get coffee from is that creamer is not even... Is it dairy?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Good.
Is it?
I love the
good.
Taste of it. I'm not going to ask any questions after that.
I'm good.
I'm not going to ask questions.
So...
I'm going to be completely honest. I'm asking the questions.
Is there another story other than Shedeur Sanders? Or?
I feel bad because it's kind of entered a human interest story at this point. But a lot of years we jump in here on this Saturday and go, the hell are we going to talk about for 7+ hours?
Which, yeah, we're here for 7+ hours.
But with him falling out of day 2, and we're now getting to a point of what teams actually would take him. I mean, going back to, I think, the Adam Schefter report from yesterday, mentioning that if he didn't go to the Pittsburgh Steelers at pick 83, they ultimately take Caleb Johnson, the running back out of Iowa. You're talking about a team that literally we have no connections to Shedeur Sanders. Didn't meet with him, didn't talk with him, what have you. I think that's where we enter, and that's where I think a team like Miami Dolphins makes a lot of sense. I know the three of us have all talked about that with just him fitting that system. And me and TJ talked about it yesterday on air and off. Of maybe it's a team that is like, we can handle the circus because our star quarterback is an MVP caliber talent. And if anyone says anything,
maybe
it's
Dallas.
Laughable.
Maybe
yeah. Dallas makes a lot of sense because they
is not
want
one
the
of
circus.
Those. Yeah.
Dallas, they want the circus.
So that's for a different reason. But to your point, Zach, yeah, if Deion says something about the team struggling, say that it's Buffalo or Baltimore or a team that could use a little bit of an upgrade at backup quarterback, but it is a player in the league that you're not removing from their pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, Deion, shut up.
Yeah, just go away. And it quickly becomes
if he
that.
Has any sort of criticisms about anything, no, you don't.
It's just it's fascinating to watch. I mentioned with round one, he didn't have the physical elite traits that you want in a first round quarterback. I didn't think he'd fall, though, into the fourth, fifth, sixth round, maybe even undrafted. He is a good college quarterback. He should, I think, at this point now be considered a really high-level backup quarterback for a team to go get, and that's where I do see a team like a Buffalo, Kansas City, Baltimore, if they want to get better at backup quarterback, he'd make a lot of sense. It's just I don't know if the league is trying to make a statement, what have you. I think it really comes down to he's too loud to be a backup quarterback.
Let's see the next few rounds to see if it's a statement.
But I also maybe want to say too loud. To me, it reminds me a lot of the LeBron James media complex, right? LeBron cooks his eggs over easy, and it's 3 weeks of coverage on First Take. So, to me, it's a little – it's like that meme, right, where it's Eric Andre and he shoots the guy and he's like, why would you do this?
Yep.
And it's like the media is Eric Andre and it's shooting Shedeur Sanders and it's like, Shedeur, why would you do this? Like, Shedeur Sanders isn't the one – he's not – Terrell Owens. He's not going at the end of his driveway and doing,
sit-ups.
Right. And making I just think that a lot of his detractions, the things that you could point to say he's a distraction, he's a him guy, he needs to be humble. Nobody says those things about anybody else.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't hear anything. You ever heard Tom Brady should be humble?
No. If anything, they would build up the fact that he was kind of the guy.
Right.
You know?
You never heard, like, so I think for me, it's this weird double standard that the media has created about a player that they are creating the hysteria about.
Mm-hmm.
It's, to me, it's a little frustrating because now, again, and I think that just like everything else in current day, there's no concept that you can just have a reasonable conversation about. It's all the way over to this side and then all the way over to this side. And if you're not in one of those two buckets, you're nowhere. And, I think for me, to be honest, Dylan Gabriel, if I look at him compared to Shedeur Sanders, not a draftable prospect.
And you saw it last night on social media. That was the pick where everyone went, what the hell is this? What is going on here? And I can agree with that, but that's where I do think
because to me, the Cleveland Browns traded for, then signed the largest guaranteed contract in NFL history to a accused sexual predator.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine, but God forbid this guy's a little overconfident.
Look at the Mike Green situation in Baltimore now.
Yeah.
Mike Green has sexual assault allegations going back to high school and college.
He was fine.
Totally fine.
He eventually gets drafted.
He eventually gets drafted. He falls a little bit, but eventually gets drafted, where for Sanders, he's not. I think it's just it becomes the quarterback position, how much flash comes with that as well. I don't know where it's going here. But to the Sanders point and kind of social media, Nate, to your point too, like there's never like a level take with this. It's one or the other. Mel Kiper is in his crash out talking about Sanders.
Yeah.
Openly comparing him like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, like these people didn't like him. I had a scout tell me Peyton Manning was a third round grade because like he's freaking out, and it's like you're comparing him to maybe the two most cerebral quarterbacks ever. There's no level
just because they're drop back passers. It's like, no, that's not what this is. And there's plenty more that we can talk about with this.
Yeah.
But we have 7 hours. Let's pace ourselves.
Let's pace ourselves,
gentlemen.
All right, let's go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins us live from One Bills Drive. Sal, do you have to start paying rent from being there so long? Or?
Yeah, I might have to. I mean, literally left here 8-9 hours ago. And back here again this morning. Not unlike you guys down at the station, right?
I mean,
same thing. We're here all weekend. It is very interesting. I will tell you guys, just a little peek behind the curtain here. There are two people in this media room right now, both named Sal. What are the odds of that?
There we go.
Both Yankees fans too.
My buddy
both
Sal Marana.
Both Yankees fans.
Yeah, we are yelling about Devin Williams last night with the Yankees to each other and at each other. So that's what we're doing here, and he had his on his phone. I had mine on the computer while we're watching the draft. If anybody during the draft, okay, just want everybody to know, if there was anybody that heard something, some swearing from the Bills media room, it was Sal and Sal coming up at you.
It wasn't about the picks. That's important to note. It was not the reaction.
It was the Yankees.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So that's what we're doing down here today, and we'll be following along all day long. And yeah, it's going to be a long day down here, but this is the final day, of course, of the draft. And typically, Brandon Bean will come out. Sometimes it's pretty early when the draft ends. Sometimes it's later because they're working on priority free agents and he's got to get on the phone. But the day will start at noon with the first pick of the fourth round, and then obviously go until, I would say, usually around 6-7 o'clock.
So, Sal, you weren't the only one, but you were definitely, I would say, here locally, the reporter that really kind of stood pat on, corner, edge, defensive tackle, and, not in that particular order, but that's ended up being what happened. And this is a team we were kind of even basically jotting down the names. They've got a lot of bodies at both defensive tackle and defensive end. Now, it's important to note a player from each of those positions is going to be out for the first 6 weeks, so they're going to need the additional bodies. I know, and I was listening to One Bills Live yesterday talking about, is there a position that the Bills might look to, unload on? Maybe it's tackle. They've got Vandermark and Grable and a couple of these are young players and Alec Anderson, and there's a lot of pieces. Maybe that's a position they look to unload and get another asset back. They're not going to be able to go into the season with 12, 13 defensive linemen, but because of the suspension situation, does that make things a little bit more difficult to maybe project as we get closer to training camp and in the end of this draft?
If you're talking about any moves like that, you're not talking about until training camp, I think. During training camp, towards the end of training camp. Do you guys know how many defensive linemen they brought to camp last year? You want to guess?
14? 16?
I thought it was closer to 20.
Yeah?
18.
Wow.
Yeah. 18 defensive linemen came to training camp last year. Right now, they have 12. So they're going to add even more.
In fairness,
I understand.
Though,
everybody looks at the roster. Oh, my God, where are all these guys?
I was going to say, though, in fairness, Al, they have 12 guys that are probably, I would say all 12 guys they have right now are all NFL rostered players. And I think that's a little bit different than having, 18 guys where you're like, yes, all right, the cutoff line, Ilyanku, yep, okay, Ilyanku's not even a part of this conversation now. It is just unique to me to see so much good talent.
He's not even on the roster anymore, actually.
Right.
Yeah. Zion Logue is on the roster. Zion Logue would be a guy that you could probably say, okay, they'll probably cut him, bring him back to the practice squad. Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt, actually, because of their suspensions, they'll get transferred. They only have 10 right now, actually, on the roster that are eligible to be on the 53 to start the season. I think the bottom line here is what I'm trying to say. There's going to be quite a few guys at that position, and someone's going to have to go at the end of the day, right? And remember last year we talked about this. Would it be Casey Tuhill? Who would it be? And look, Javon Solomon, is he a lock to make the roster? Maybe. I mean, you could probably be more likely than not, 75%, but could he get beat out? Sure. I mean, look, AJ Epenesa saves you money if you move on from him after June 1st. I'm not predicting they will. Back a few months ago, I said I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe something like that happens going forward. You just never know. I mean, they like AJ. I'm just using him as an example. Sure. You never know how these things start to shake out. And let's remember, guys, injuries happen, right? You get into training camp, all of a sudden you're down two defensive tackles because there's an injury that happens to somebody along the way. So I would caution any fan to not get caught up in numbers right now, right? These are picks that are going to come in, and they're probably, at some point going to be taking guys who, yes, they're going to bump somebody else off the roster because you're not cutting a fourth-round pick. You're not cutting a fifth-round pick. That said, 10 guys aren't making this roster most likely. So once you get to the sixth, seventh round, I think all bets are off, and that's kind of the cutoff of where you might see guys who wouldn't be there. Right now the Bills have 70 players on their active roster. They have to still get to 20 more, right? That's a lot. And they only have, how many more picks today? They have 7 picks today. That's 13 undrafted free agents on top of the 7 picks today. Where are they going to come from? Where are they going to go? You look around the roster, I think you could add 2 wide receiver for sure. Is a 6th-round wide receiver, though, going to beat out Tyrell Shavers?
Right.
That's a good question. I don't know, right? I mean, a fourth rounder probably sticks on the roster. I would say that. So I think this is where you kind of have to play a game of where we take guys now. They're for depth. They're not starting unless she really blows up at camp and oh my gosh. And then where can you kind of slot them into maybe be a depth piece, or are they simply going to be waived at the end of camp and you risk losing them through waivers and then get them back in the practice squad?
Yeah, there's not many not typically you're going to get a Christian Benford who starts day one out of like heading into camp and wins a job. So, but that said, Sal, they have 7 picks. We do mention the numbers of like how it's got to fill out the roster for 90. But at the same time, it is hard to forecast that they will end up using all 7 of these selections remaining here today, especially because of the fact that in the fifth round, it's 33, 34, and 37 of the fifth round. Those are all in such quick succession. I would imagine they might try to pair something up to move up in the fourth round here today.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. Derek, to be honest with you, you're right. I think the history shows Brandon Bean does those kinds of things, move up a little bit, get a guy. I think the conversation we're having, you guys are right, like there's not enough spots for people. So I think you might have to approach it in, you know, quality over quantity. And you kind of already have the quantity and you have the floor and you have the depth. So you need to just try and get as many good players who can actually make the roster. Because once you get to a certain point today, that's going to be really dicey to be able to do that. And you're right, Nate. I mean, when you look at training camp and what they've done in the past, they've moved guys. They've traded guys. You know, Ryan Bates gets traded, right? I mean, we've had a few guys over the years. The Bills have traded. At offensive line especially, they've done that. Obviously, Wyatt Teller, that didn't turn out great for the Bills to trade him, but those things happen. You know, Ryan Vandermark is right there, as you said. Richard Garage, Travis Clayton, who obviously Pathways guy, he's right now on the roster. These are guys that, you know, if you can't find a spot for them, do they just get waived and come into the practice squad? But all of that, to me, is down the road and gets sorted out once we get to July and into August and how everything starts to shape up.
Sal Capaccio here on the West Her Hotline as we get ready for day 3 of the NFL draft. Sal, going back to yesterday, though, the Bills, as Nate mentioned, they take an edge rusher, Landon Jackson, out of Arkansas. Another high-level athlete for the Bills. It seems to be kind of where they're going with these 3 picks. Also 3-for-3 on SEC defenders. What did you hear from him yesterday with the Zoom meeting with the media?
Yeah, he's a really interesting guy. He's 22 years old. He's already married, and he's going to be walking into an NFL locker room, unlike most other draft picks who come into an NFL locker room, kind of already a family man who's in that stage of his life where a lot of these guys are. So I think he's kind of ready and prepared off the field from that standpoint a little bit differently. On the field, he has played in the SEC. He's been highly productive. He's got an NFL body. He looks just like Greg Rousseau, essentially, you know, 6'6". 280, whatever, you know, the number is there. And this is a guy, let's see what he's got listed here. 264, sorry. 6'6", 264. Yeah, I like, and then on top of all that, you think about this massive human being. He told us he has a micro golden doodle for a dog whose name is Honey. I love it. I absolutely love it. So that's what we heard from him. This was a player, I think, guys, you saw it. Very much mocked to the Bills by a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys, you know, you brought him up yesterday on the radio. Yeah, he could be very well a pick here. I talked about him a little bit as well because, you know, even going into the draft, I think a lot of people thought he could be in play at 30, maybe, believe it
yes.
or not. I think some people thought he'd be in play in the second round. They get him in the third round. So I think this is a guy that fits, really fits this team right now and what they like in a football player. The one thing that really stuck out to me from Brandon Bean talking about him, we've had a lot of talk, as you guys know, because the Shedeur Sanders stuff and a lot of other things that are happening. We've had a lot of talk this draft, more than any other draft, about players loving the game and NIL and how much money's changed them and all that. I think Brandon Bean specifically made it clear about both Sanders and especially Landon Jackson that these are guys that just want to play football. They just love football so much, and the other stuff is just does not matter because they want to play football so much.
Yeah, Sal, on that too, bringing up Max Hairston to that as well. I watched an interview. Mm-hmm. He was on 3 at the college recruiting website, but they were doing interviews for round one, and they specifically talked to Hairston about him staying at Kentucky while being part of the NIL era, not playing his freshman year and stuff like that, and he had mentioned wanting to build a legacy. So I throw him in there as well as kind of that guy that just – we want to stay with one team, build a legacy, what have you. We'll see if that, you know, sticks in the NFL if we get to that point. On Sanders, though, Sal, I mean, he's kind of become the story of this draft, for better or worse. I'd imagine, regardless of how this draft goes, this will probably be what we all remember is his fall. We were talking yesterday what teams are maybe going to work for him. Are we hitting a point now where, you know, the Dolphins might work, Dallas, if they want kind of the media all around them for this whole thing? It's so fascinating where he could potentially end up.
Sanders himself, you're talking about here, right?
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by it. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this because it's wild to me, right? I mean, you'd never had a player with this kind of pedigree that and was so highly projected, never, to not be drafted yet. Now, some people didn't have that high of a grade. I mean, I get that. It could happen. And there's people listening going, I never thought he'd be good. That's fine. I'm just telling you that we've never had this type of scenario. A player with this type of pedigree, these type of accolades, and was projected to be drafted that high. You know, Mel Kiper made a good point last night, which is, look, Kirk Cousins was drafted later, or, you know, Dak Prescott was drafted in the fourth round, right? I mean, who else? Was Brett Favre a fourth rounder? I don't even remember. But those guys weren't projected to be first or second rounders.
Right,
right.
Yeah.
This is what that's the difference. It's not just being drafted. So, you know, I've thought about it. I've sat with it. And I've said this constantly, and I still believe this. One of the reasons I think this is happening to Shador is because of who his dad is. And you better be very, very comfortable if you're a coach knowing that if your team starts to slide, it's not just Shador that people are going to want to play if he's playing or not. They're going to want to call for your job and bring Deion Sanders in, right? I mean, like, and you multiply that by what media market you're in. You're in New York, right? You think about that. And, you know, if you're sitting there and you're Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, you draft Shador Sanders and things start to go south, people are just hammering for Deion Sanders to become the head coach. You don't want to deal with that. But I think also...
It's not a bad point, Sal.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's the overall, if you want to call a distraction, and what I mean by this is... This is not the type of player you draft to be a backup. With everything that comes to him, it's almost all or nothing. You either draft him to come in there and be a very big part. Guys, the minute you draft him, he's the face of your organization. Okay, because of who he is, who his last name is, what he did in college. The face of your organization can't be a backup quarterback. It's just the way it works. So you almost have to have all or nothing. And if it's not going to be all, then you're just not drafting him. This is unlike a guy like Kyle McCord, a guy like Dylan Gabriel, who's been drafted. McCord hasn't been drafted. Who else was drafted yesterday? Shuck. Unlike these guys, you can draft them. You know what? If they wind up starting, that is great. There is no one telling you when he goes in, oh my God, what about him every day? What about him? Asking him, is this guy going to start? Is this guy going to play? All the things that come along with those guys are not things the organization has to deal with when they're trying to coach the 53 guys, the other 52, to get ready for a football game. That can't happen with Shador Sanders. And you might not like that hearing that. It's just a reality of how NFL teams think, and I totally get it.
Well, and Sal, on that point, too, I mean, we were talking about this, kind of comparing other – I've kind of put it to the loud backup quarterbacks. Doesn't have to necessarily be them, but the media talking about them. Cam Newton has openly acknowledged that's why his career ended, is that – I would come in and be too much. His talent, regardless. Tim Tebow was this as well, where it was too much.
100%.
You know, and to no fault of Shador, he's become that. And now that's why, you know, Miami, I bring up Dallas, I think would love the media attention. But I also think maybe we've all brought up now these talented teams that have that MVP level quarterback or close to it. Maybe they're like, our guy could handle it. You know, quote, not them personally, but like the media won't kill them and have Shador wanting to play. We can maybe handle it and get better at backup quarterback. But even then, it's a hell of a risk.
Yeah, you know, you're right about Cam, when you say that, Zach. He said it. You're right. He said it right out. He knew it. He was self-aware. He's like, you can't bring me in to be a backup quarterback. Like, because everybody starts talking about me instead of what's happening with the team. And it becomes just something you're asking everybody about him. You're asking the organization about him. It's like, dude, he's a backup quarterback. We don't walk around here asking the Bills about Mitch Trubisky, right? I mean, let's be honest. You know, if he has to play, he has to play. And you're like, okay, well, now you talk about him. But he's not the guy that people are focused on in the background, not even doing anything, and people are talking about him. It's the right point, and I think that's why he is where he is today, and it might be unfortunate. I think it's a bunch of garbage when I hear about, well, he's eccentric and all this other stuff that he brings. Dude, stop with it. Oh, lots of these guys getting drafted, they're very eccentric. They have great personalities. They have big personalities. That happens. You draft people like that all the time. I've not heard one thing about an off-field issue with Shedeur Sanders that could make him fall. I haven't heard anything about medical. In fact, the opposite about medical. This dude was sacked 90 times last year and he's still playing.
Yep.
He's tough as heck. Right? Like, no, there's none of that stuff exists with this kid. You know what exists, though? What exists is the media onslaught that comes with him and having to deal with that every day. And if he's not a full-time player, you have to question if that's worth it for your organization as you're getting ready to play.
Sal, moving on to bigger and brighter things here. Day three, about to get started in a half hour. Does look like there still are some targets that they may not even be particularly done on the defensive line. There are guys like Josh Farmer, Jordan Phillips, C.J. West all available here. Based on the talent, and this is where a lot of people said the depth of this draft class at defensive tackle, it still might be able to shine through coming up here.
Yeah, how about the kid from Kentucky, Walker, right?
I believe. Deion Walker,
yeah. I mean, go back to the SEC, go back to Kentucky.
I wrote an article
this morning, by the way, WGR550.com. People want to check it out. It's not just three defenders, three SEC defenders.
Yeah.
You know, the Bills drafted. I don't think they intentionally went in this draft and saying, we got to get SEC guys. But as Brandon Bean said, how can you not respect it? They're playing against high level talent every single week. And they're playing against other NFL talent every single week. So they're kind of more prepared to come into the league right here. But you're right about that. There are some defensive linemen that are still on the board we could see. And, yeah, you're right. Jordan Phillips hasn't been drafted yet, right, out of Maryland?
Correct.
312 pounds, a little bit bigger there. I did think that the Bills wanted to get a little bigger at defensive line. And that's not necessarily TJ Sanders. He's 297. He is a little longer, which they like. But I do think they'd still like to get a little bit bigger. Jordan Phillips would satisfy that. I think, like I said, Deion Walker would satisfy that. 331 pounds for Deion Walker. So there are some guys there. I wouldn't be surprised. Farmer is a little over 300. Not super small, but not necessarily the biggest. I don't know if that would satisfy kind of at this point what you're looking for. Brandon Bean made a good point yesterday. I want everybody to remember this and watch out for this. He said it's harder to find rush interior guys mm-hmm. can penetrate, than it is to find two down nose tackles, two down one techniques. And then he said, you can get those guys in free agency too. I think the Bills will go through the free agency route. I still think going into this draft, they would love to get one. And Tyleek Williams was my guy that they might have drafted. He said, by the way, the Bills told him they were going to draft him if he was there at number 30. He wasn't. He went two picks before that. But I think the way this plays out now for the Bills, you're looking at going back into the free agent pool to find maybe that one technique. Because right now, as Brandon Bean said, Dwayne Carter is your backup one technique. And I don't know how that sits with a lot of people. I don't love it. I mean, he could do it, I think. But how effective can he be over a full season? I think that would be questioned, obviously. So what are you looking at in the free agency market? Well, you still got Jordan Phillips out there. The other one, the Bills' Jordan Phillips, right? You still got him out there. Guys like that who they brought in, I wouldn't be surprised if they do something like that again as this goes forward.
All right, Sal, appreciate you, and we'll be talking throughout the afternoon here as day three gets underway in about a half hour.
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Sal Capaccio there on the West Hur Hotline. We'll take a timeout on the other side. We'll continue with our coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft. Day three gets underway here in just over a half an hour, and we'll go through some of the best available players today. And, there's some quarterbacks still on the board, a lot of wide receivers, and some names I'd like to walk through with you guys as well, because I do think the Bills in the fourth round need to take a wide receiver. To me, that's the priority in this round, and hopefully one of these guys can fall in the Bills' lap at 130. 132 in the fourth round. I'm Nate Geary. We have Derek Kramer and Zach Jones along with you for the next several hours. You're listening to continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft here on WGR. All right, welcome back to WGR's continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft. We've made it to day three. Many said we wouldn't. They said we wouldn't make it.
No, we wouldn't. It's making it through today part that we said we won't.
Oh, okay.
I was worried about yesterday.
No, yesterday was easy.
I was terrified.
Yesterday was a brilliant day. We had a great day.
The best part of that owner in that movie is he never takes his sunglasses off. Not once. Not once. Not once.
Had to be torched throughout shooting.
Had to have been. Had to have been.
So I talked about and teased last segment before we went to break about talking about some of the wide receivers still left in this draft. You know, I highlighted by Jalen Royals of Utah State.
One of the few Bills visits that is available.
And one of the few guys I think that is in that, like a true outside receiver that's got the juice. He's got speed. He's a 4.4 guy, 6 feet, a little over 200 pounds. Like that's a guy to me that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, you look down this list, it gets thin pretty quick considering where we are right now. And, you know, I don't know what ends up happening with Isaiah Bond. I do think he'll probably get drafted at some point. I don't think it'll be by the Bills. And then you got the kid from Stanford, Aya Manor. That could be a guy the Bills look at. I mean, he's big. He's 6'1". He's also a 4.4 guy. So another outside guy. Royals or Ayo Manor could be the guy.
I would also say Torrey Horton, another guy that the Bills did visit.
Colorado
State, 6 foot, a little under 200 pounds, also another 4.4 guy. 4.41 was his 40-yard dash. He could be somebody as well. I know a lot of Bills fans like Bond. I think with everything surrounding him, I'm with you, Nate. I think he probably gets drafted at some point. It might be a flyer in the 6th, 7th round where it's like, if this goes to hell, you know, no harm, no foul.
I might suspect actually that Bond doesn't get drafted at all.
I could see that as well. I could absolutely see that as well. But there's a few guys here. Deontay Thornton Jr., the Tennessee receiver, if they don't go in the 4th round, I think he could be one of their 5th, 6th round picks.
I do like Thornton a lot. Yeah. He's been a name that I've looked at quite a bit. I mean, 6'4", he's a big guy. He ran one of the fastest times of any receiver, I think second behind Matthew Golden.
4.3 flat.
Yeah. So, I mean, that guy's got some speed and some height. Because I think we all agree that if the Bills are going to take a wide receiver, we'd like to be a guy on the edge, like on the outside.
On the boundary,
Not a slot receiver. It's like why Tez Johnson to me just is off the board.
Yeah, never made
too
sense.
Too small.
Yep.
He didn't really run the time. I think a lot of people thought he was going to run in the 4.3s and 4.4s. He ended up running a 4.5.
His combine was I remember a lot of people were talking about him because the perceived he's going to be a fast guy. And then after the combine, I haven't heard his name since until we got to this weekend. Because people were like, oh yeah, remember the Oregon receiver? It was like, well, his combine was so bad, he's so small. That it just went to hell. You guys know, I said it yesterday, I'd have been happy with Royals in the late 2nd round. I'd have been happy with them in the early 3rd. I'd be thrilled with them in the 4th. Although I know Chris Trapasso's talked a lot about this with one of his guys, Elijah Badger, the wide receiver out of Florida. You get to a certain point, if he's taken in the 5th, 6th, 7th round, you're kind of like, all right, what kind of career is he actually going to be able to even have? I'd maybe say the same thing for Royals if they were to go get him in the 4th. I think, though, there's a real good chance Jalen Royals is off the board right at the rip here with the Tennessee Titans if the Bills don't trade up all the way up there to go get him, if Tennessee doesn't take him, what have you. I like him a lot. I do wonder, though, how much his foot injury is hampering him. He's been open about it even to the end of March, how it hurt him in the pre-draft process, going to the combine, the pro day. He ran, you know, in the low 4.4s. If he's 100%, he probably runs in the low 4.3 or the high 4.3s, mid 4.3s. His projections as well for his stats this year would have been 90-plus catches, over 1,400 yards, double-digit touchdowns at Utah State with bad quarterback play.
Yep.
I think he would be a slam dunk steal in the 4th. I think he could be your number 2 receiver midway through this year. I think he's unbelievable.
If the Bills decide they want to keep going defense too, like linebacker, they brought in Chris Paul Jr. Twice, I think. I think they did a top 30 visit with him.
Poopall.
So that's a name maybe they look at because this is just – it's not a good linebacker draft. And the Bills want – if they want somebody, you know, Poopall might be that guy for you. I continue to think safety is a position right now that's going to have some value going into the 4th round. Billy Bowman Jr. from Oklahoma.
I think they brought him in twice. I liked him a lot. He's brought in twice.
In the process, Malachi Moore from Alabama, another guy I like a lot. Jalen Reed, Penn State, the other Penn State safety in this draft.
Yep.
Played a lot because
Winston got hurt.
Because Winston's injury, he ended up playing a lot more. And I ran a 4.4, I think. So, I mean, he's another guy with some speed on the back end. So, yeah, there's some there's definitely some pieces I look at in this draft and I say linebacker, safety, but I think prioritizing wide receiver here makes a ton of sense. Jack Sawyer's still on the board.
Jack Sawyer's still on the board. His thing, though, it felt like he was always kind of like he's going to be a great college player and probably not a great NFL player. There was always the feeling about him. I think early in the process, he was maybe being mocked late round one, early round two. This isn't too surprising, but I could see a team going, yeah, but if his floor is four sacks, that's not a bad get in the fourth or fifth round. If that's going to be his floor coming right
in. I don't see room for Edge.
On the Bills, I don't see it. Yeah. I don't see it. I know Sal brings up they're going to bring more guys, but to Nate, your point, the guys they have now are probably all NFL roster guys. And so that's where I even look at D-tackle. If a guy like Deion Walker's there, do they have room?
Yeah.
Or are we looking at, you know, it's not the same thing, but if they took a guy like Deion Walker in the fourth round and all of a sudden we do find out a lot of his issues are legitimate. I know Joe Marino is really not a big fan of his. I don't want to have like a Lynn Bowden moment for the Raiders a few years ago where they're getting rid of their third round pick. This would be fourth. I don't want that.
Yeah.
And then, Nate, that's why I'm with you. Like, on wide receiver, that guy I think is making the roster and can contribute right away, especially if it's a boundary guy. They just simply don't have those guys. Curtis Samuel's not taking those snaps away. Keon Coleman is not a field stretcher. That's why a guy like Royals could be.
Yeah.
A.O. Manor out of Stanford could be that. Thornton out of Tennessee really is that and kind of only that. That's where I could see that really working for him.
Yeah, with what the Bills have done at wide receiver relatively, there also still probably just needs to be another one to add to the room because is
be cool to Josh, get younger there.
Is Josh Palmer going to take 1,000 snaps
right.
from the departures of both Hollins and Cooper? Probably not. So where do the snap counts go at that point is the interesting part. Do you add someone, especially if there's some special teams versatility, a player then can find a way to stay on a roster?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's plenty of ways that someone in a day three will be able to contribute. That said, I'm not as worried if they don't end up getting one. If they don't end up getting one, that's pretty much the board fell the way that it did.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of okay with it. Let's shrug the shoulders. At this point today, we're in day three.
Well, and I've already mentioned it. I think there's a good chance Royals goes at the first pick of the fourth round.
Yeah.
And,
if Royals isn't gone by the first five picks, something's wrong.
And all of this talk I've done for the first hour about him, and even yesterday, it's like it's all for naught. For me, it's just I also kind of like maybe the preparation of you don't have a ton of star power is not the right word. You don't have a lot of playmakers on your offense outside of like James Cook. And there's a real good chance this is our last year with him, especially if we're going off of Dalvin Cook's tweet earlier this week, now bringing the price up to $20 million a year.
He's got to stop. I get that you're vouching for family, but look what that's done
but
to
you
Shedrick
also
Sanders.
Didn't do good at this. Like look, you were not great at negotiating this.
Well, also, look what family vouching has done for Shedrick Sanders.
But so I am in some preparation getting ready for James Cook to maybe not be on this roster after next
year. That's also another consideration for day three, by the way, running back.
Dylan Sampson. He's going to be gone way
Devin Neal from Kansas is someone that's been on my radar for a little while here. And if they add someone in like the fifth round at running back, it's not an indictment on James Cook either. It is, hey, it's another player to add to the roster because, as Sal said, we've got 90 guys to go to camp. Also, is Ty Johnson a long-term fixture on this team?
Is Ty Johnson a long-term? And that's where I could
say Ray Davis.
Yeah, but that's where I could also see him keeping the picks is all of a sudden it's like we want to add a running back. We want to add another tight end.
We'll practice squad Devin Neal, for example.
Stuff like that, yeah. I could see it.
There's a lot of different options that can go in this one, but I think running back, I would not be surprised at all if it's running back over wide receiver with day three.
I don't think there's a spot for a running back on the team, to be honest. That's why I don't see the flyer on a running back even making sense.
Even in the fifth, sixth round?
No.
I think just there's...
Why even make the pick? You're not going to carry four running backs. You're going to hope your fourth or fifth round running back gets pushed through to the practice squad because that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Johnson's on the roster. Ray Davis is on the roster. And as long as James Cook here, he's on the roster.
Yeah. I think the one it'd be Ty Johnson. That's if they take it, it would be, is Ty long for this? But
I think Ty's the most secure player in that group.
That's the thing is, and you know how much Josh Allen loves him. He calls him the best third down back in football.
I don't think Ty Johnson's going anywhere.
Yeah.
I think if you're looking at those three guys, Ty Johnson's got the most solidified role. I mean, this year and moving forward. He signed a two-year deal. He's here.
Did sign a two-year deal. That's right. Yep.
So 803-0550, the numbers to call if you'd like to get your thoughts in on who you'd like to see the Bills go after. We'll talk a little bit about, I don't know, the toast of the night, which was the Bills drafting an undersized defensive tackle who is 3 pounds under 300 pounds. And you're talking to a guy, me, who didn't want Derek Harmon because I did not view him as, I viewed him as that tweener, but that was at 30. So we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the undersized versus... and Joe Marino had a great tweet about, you know, this idea that, you know, the Eagles had this giant off defensive line. They had one guy that was over 320 pounds on that defensive line. and he played like 20 snaps in the Super Bowl. So we'll get more into that a little bit coming up next, but the phone lines are open if you want to give us a shot at 803-0550. I'm Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones with you here for the next several, Derek would like me to say 7 hours here on WGR. Good morning. Welcome back. Hour one of our continuing coverage here on WGR of the 2025 NFL Draft. About to come to a close, and we will get things started at 11 a.m. this morning from Green Bay. And we talked a little bit last half hour about wide receivers, about some of the defenders that we're still looking at that are on the board, safety. I mentioned wanting to talk a little bit about this, you know, tweet that I saw from Joe Marino, which I thought was a great tweet about this idea that the Bills are just like, they've got all these undersized guys, and look what Philly did. They didn't have the undersized guys. That's all they had was undersized guys on the defensive line. Everybody sat, I know a lot of people sat here, saw the, what Milton Williams did and said, that's the guy the Bills really got to go get this offseason. He got paid tons of money.
He's under 300 pounds, right?
280.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, he's 15 pounds lighter than the guy the Bills just drafted that everyone's yelling about being undersized, right? Jordan Davis, the only guy in that defensive line that's over 320, played 14 snaps in that game.
Yeah, Jalen Carter's 315.
Right.
And so that's the thing, too, and we were bringing up with Philly. Number one, we talked a lot about this on Thursday when Harrison was the pick. They really won that Super Bowl based off of no one was getting open fast enough. Then the defensive line came
That's right.
But really where the defensive line was also coming in, they're freak athletes that are faster than you, that they can come in waves and rotations, and they're versatile. That defensive line, they're able to move different combinations. That's really where it was working. I mean, they've got undersized guys kind of everywhere on that Eagles defense, but they're good athletes, and they're strong. That's also something, too, that we need to talk about the Bills with their strength and conditioning coach change here. Yeah. They want to get stronger.
Yep.
Keon Coleman's already being mentioned if he's gained weight. He's getting stronger already. I think that's what the Bills want to do, is be able to – that is how we're going to dictate the line of scrimmage, not with a bunch of 335, 40-pound guys.
It doesn't happen anymore, though.
It doesn't happen.
And if you want to talk about the change and the shift in the NFL, I think the smaller edges are being pushed out, and we're going a little lighter in the inside in terms of the NFL, because you look at – I saw a great tweet about, like, it was a formation that Detroit threw out. It was like, you know, two tight ends – an extra, you know, they're throwing eight guys along the line of scrimmage in a run scheme. And if you're running wide nine and you've got light edges, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's why the kid from Boston College dropped a little bit. I also think it could be part of, not just the off-the-field stuff with Mike Green, but part of the reason he also fell back into the second round. Those edges, you want a little beefier edges. And like a guy like Landon Jackson, he's a bigger edge. He's an edge-setting defender. And I think is the perfect backup. And, you know, hey, you know, Rousseau needs a blow. You feel like you have a guy, you're not sacrificing size and edge-setting ability, but maybe you're even getting a little bit higher-level top-end pass rush ability.
He might be the perfect replacement for Epinesa. You remember when he came into the league, too, he effectively had to take a redshirt year to get stronger.
And lose 25 pounds.
Yeah, so they kind of had to work him around. Landon Jackson, you don't really have to do that. His biggest problem, he is stiff as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really his biggest issue, is that he does not look as fluid as maybe you'd want him to.
Technique can be coached, though.
But technique can be – and that's the thing. The Bills coaching staff, especially in this draft, and it's been a few drafts, but especially this one, you can see in these three picks, they are like, we'll figure out the coaching stuff. You need to have uncoachable traits. You need to be a freak athlete. Your RAS score needs to be bright green, and we'll figure it out from there.
All right, 803-0550 is the number to call. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, Nate Geary will continue on when the day three, round four officially kicks off. When we come back on the other side, you're listening to continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft here on WGR.